This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for tuning in today. 25 years ago, the International Joint Commission, made up of commissioners and researchers in the U.S. and Canada, was charged with monitoring the water quality of the Great Lakes and reporting back every 2 years. The commission this week issued the last of those biennial reports on the state of the health of the Great Lakes, and it offered a mixed review. John Nevin is public affairs advisor for the IJC's Great Lakes Regional Office in Windsor, Ontario, and he joins us on the line to shed some light on the commission's findings. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Happy to be on your show.
How would you characterize the overall health of the Great Lakes at this point in comparison to where it was in 1987 when the commission was initially charged with these biennial studies?
The health of the lakes is getting better. There are some clear indications of that, whether you look at chemical integrity, physical integrity, biological integrity. There are a number of measures that say things are getting better. But there's also a number of areas of great concern, and those in particular relate to climate change.
Well, let's look at some of these the specific indicators. There were 16 indicators that the commission studied to watch the health of the lakes. What were the areas in which the most progress has been made?
Clearly, the most progress has been made with the chemical indicators. There are a number of chemical pollutants that have experienced declines, you know, over the last 25 years. And in particular, over the sort of the first half or two-thirds of that period, we saw some fairly substantial declines, you know, whether you're looking at contaminants in the eggs of herring gulls or looking at, you know, other indicators of chemical integrity. We've seen improvements, but those improvements have kind of leveled off in recent years, and in some areas have actually seen some reversals. So there's some good news and some bad news.
Well, and so it is not entirely a success story, but to what do you attribute the general overall improving trend in terms of chemical contaminants?
I think it's an example of sort of you get that low-hanging fruit, the sort of the least costliest reductions are gained early in the process, and then it becomes more and more expensive over time to gain the reduction. So that's, I think, an indicator of that. And you also have, we're seeing more and more, I think, you know, just look at the weather recently, we're seeing more and more evidence of climate change, and there are interactions between climate and these other indicators. So, for example, you have interactions between warmer water and the incidence of invasive species. So, you know, the conditions are changing, so we have to have more research and a lot more work on understanding the Great Lakes so that we can keep on making them cleaner.
Well, and so let's talk about some of the other indicators that have gotten a bit worse, including the disappearance of this tiny shrimp-like organism called diporia. What is the significance of that within the ecosystem?
The significance of that is it's a food source at the bottom of the food chain for the kind of fish that we really appreciate, especially Milwaukee, you know, perch. You know, they need that to thrive and to do well in Lake Michigan. And because we believe of the kind of spread of invasive mussels, we've now seen the disappearance of this diporia. It's a really big concern. It's like pulling the rug out of the bottom of the food chain.
At the same time, you do report some progress on invasive species, most specifically as a result of ballast water discharges.
Sure.
Are ballast
sure.
water issues behind us in the Great Lakes?
Oh, by no means. The ballast water is still a concern because right now we have we've had in place regulations for a number of years in which the ocean-going vessels must do what they call kind of a swish and spit. They have to put salt water in their tanks and swish that around before they can get into the Great Lakes system. And that apparently has helped in that we haven't found a new invader attributed to ballast water since 2006. But on the other hand, we have other scientists telling us that we haven't found one just because we haven't been looking hard enough. There's always we can't be too vigilant in protecting the Great Lakes from invasive species. It looks like the door might be closing. It might not be shut, but we still have work to do when it comes to invasive species.
And ballast water is not the only way which invasive species can get into the Great Lakes.
Right, right. I mean, obviously, the biggest concern right now is Asian carp. You know, we found, you know, the scientists have found the remnants of DNA, you know, the eDNA of carp in the lakes, but they haven't actually found a carp. And so there's some disagreement of whether carp are in the lakes or not in the lakes. So it's a big concern of both the governments, and they've been very aggressive in trying to put together a strategy to keep them out.
You mentioned climate change, and you write about a general area you call physical integrity, which includes water temperatures and ice cover. What is the general story in that area?
The general story is that water is getting warmer. You know, on the one hand, that if you live around Lake Superior, that's probably good news. You can swim, you know, in months other than August. And you know, my mom lives up in the North Woods, up in Rhinelander, and she had ice on the lake up until just a week ago. So you know, warming water can be good for tourism, but it's a challenge for the species that live in the lake. So we've, you know, looking at the period that was covered in the report, and that we've seen maybe as much as a degree and a half or 2 degree increase in water temperature, and what that affects is the amount of ice. As temperatures go up, we get less ice in the wintertime, and you get more evaporation, and that means levels are lower because the water is warmer.
You mentioned the idea of reducing chemical contaminants as potentially being the low-hanging fruit. I would imagine that something like climate issues are on the other end of the chain. It's one thing to deal with, say, point source pollution, but climate is truly a global issue.
It is a global issue. I mean, there's not something that one person living in Milwaukee or Racine can do to kind of arrest the march of climate change. I mean, everybody has a role to play, but it's something that there are our city, state, federal governments, and internationally needs to be dealt with. It is not low hanging fruit. It's definitely the big question and challenge that's facing the lakes. And for example, I talked a minute ago about the interactions across these different challenges. If you look at, say, Lake Erie, climate change is really posing a challenge too, because it's increasing the incidence of harmful algae. Because we've had these, scientists tell us we're going to see more intense rainstorms, and obviously we've had that this spring. And more intense rain means more runoff and more nutrients flushed into our lakes. And so scientists are telling us that we'll probably see one of the worst algae blooms ever, potentially in Lake Erie this year. So that shows the interaction across the different challenges.
Well, and one of the other points that was really interesting that this report makes is the need for a larger set of environmental indicators that can be agreed on. I wonder, does that speak to the conflicting pressures facing both governments when it comes to Great Lakes stewardship?
Yeah, actually, just to be clear, we actually want a smaller set.
Okay.
The report didn't leave that implication, because there are hundreds of different indicators, whether it's the number of mayflies per square meter, or the diaperea that we talked about earlier on the floor of Lake Michigan, and temperature or ice cover. And if you look across, policymakers can't make decisions based on hundreds of indicators. We need a small set of indicators that can really give a good sense of are the lakes getting cleaner or not. And what our commission is doing is we're working with scientists both in universities and in governments to come up with a small set of maybe a couple dozen indicators of both human health and ecosystem health, and tie those directly to the Great Lakes Water Quality Agreement that the two countries have, so that we can see that if we take action X, we get result Y, and that's reflected in the indicator. And a lot of scientists, you know, have their favorite indicator because that's their area of research, but that might not be the most helpful indicator for a policymaker, say, at the Environmental Protection Agency when they have to make a decision about a regulatory change.
Well, so then what are you hoping that the overall takeaway message will be for the U.S. and Canadian state and provincial governments with a stake in the health of the Great Lakes?
I think the biggest takeaway is research is critically important. And a lot of times when we have budget challenges, the first act is kind of falls on research and monitoring. And what we're saying in this report is that in this time, especially with climate change, we need to be spending more on research and monitoring, not less, so that policymakers can make decisions based on the best information. Because otherwise, you know, we really don't know what's happening in the Great Lakes. You know, you can look out over Lake Michigan, and there's just there's so many different forces that are acting on the lakes, and the more we can do to understand them, then we can make decisions to help them.
Well, and if I understand correctly, was this the last of the biennial reports the Commission was to issue as a result of the 1987 agreement? Is that right?
That's exactly right. This is the last under the 25 years of the past agreement. The two countries got together last year and signed a new agreement that just came into effect a couple of months ago. So going forward, the good news is that the two countries have, with this new agreement, have agreed to redouble their efforts to focus on cleaning up the lakes and to really be more accountable to the people in both countries and making sure that we connect with the various stakeholder groups and organizations throughout the Great Lakes and say, you know, what are you looking for? What are the things that you expect from the governments to do in cleaning up the lakes and to build a better kind of communication across the border and to work together to clean them up.
Does that mean there will be another report due out in 2015, or is the study going to take another form from here on out?
It's actually going to be on a three-year cycle this time around. So we're going to work on the governments have committed to doing a really comprehensive assessment on the health of the Great Lakes. And so the next report will come out in 2016.
John Nevin, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
John Nevin is the Public Affairs Advisor for the International Joint Commission's Great Lakes Regional Office in Windsor, Ontario. He talked with us about the IJC's report on the water quality in the Great Lakes. You'll find a link to the report from WUWM.com. Keep listening. An update on Wisconsin's effort to combat a threat to millions of ash trees. That's when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.